This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I mentioned yesterday that the Quran has been described with three states, meaning three ahwal, in the ayah of Ramadan. The first of them was guidance for humanity, hudal linnas. I talked to you yesterday about what hal means also, what it can signify. Today I'm going to talk to you about the second piece of this ayah, which is very significant. He says, وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ, which is, you can translate it as clear proofs from within the guidance. And that sounds a little bit obscure when you say that in English, clear proofs from within the guidance. Imam Razi even asked the question that somebody could say, well, Allah already said guidance for humanity, then what's the point of saying proofs from within the guidance? It's basically saying the same thing, so why even repeat that phrase? Because it stands on its own, it has its own purpose. The thing is, it's one thing to offer somebody direction. To say, this is, if you want to go to that destination, take this turn, stay right, go down this many miles, take this turn, etc., and you'll get to where you need to go. That's giving people guidance. But if somebody says, fine, you're telling me to take this road, and you want me to get to that destination, but what's your proof that this is the right road? I need evidence. I don't know if I can rely on your directions. Is that a reliable source? In other words, it's one thing to give somebody guidance, it's another to convince them that this is the right guidance. Convincing someone that this is the path that they should follow is here. It's an intellectual thing. So for human beings that genuinely want guidance for their hearts, Allah is offering that to them. But for some of them that ask the question, but I want to be sure that I'm following the right thing, there's so many religions in the world. There's so many people claiming to follow the path of truth. There's so many avenues by which people are saying, follow this and you'll be successful, follow this and you'll be successful, follow this and you'll be successful. What's your proof that this road is the right road? So Allah says, I didn't just give you guidance. He didn't just give us hudal linnas. He said, bayyinatin minal huda. Clear proofs, self-evident proofs from within that guidance. You see, what used to be the case before the Quran, like for example, Musa alayhi salam. The miracle given to Musa alayhi salam was a staff. It was, the miracle given was the hand. The miracle given was the water parting. These were miracles, mar'iyat, there's something to be seen. Separately, Allah gave him guidance, which is Torah. So there used to be the proof, was one thing, and then the guidance is something else. With Quran, Allah combined both of them. Instead of separating, you know, the message and the miracle, the message and the proof are one. They're one and the same. The Quran itself becomes its evidence, and the Quran is the thing to follow also. So the study of the Quran becomes, the more one ponders the Quran, this is why Allah says that when they ponder into the ayat, they will actually know, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, that if they pondered into the Quran, they would know that if this was from someone other than Allah, they would have found contradiction. They'll find it consistent with it only being from a divine source. So this phrase, one of its first meanings, is that for anyone who seeks proof, real proof, that the Quran is the word of God, and they come to the Quran genuinely asking that question, the Quran will prove itself to them. And it will prove itself not in one way, in multiple ways, which is why Allah did not say, هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَةً مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ. He said, بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ, جَمَّعٍ. Why? Multiple proofs, and each of them self-evident in and of themselves. The other thing about the word bayyin and bayyina is that it's actually an ism sifa, which means it's an inherent quality. Meaning the Quran doesn't need some outside thing to prove itself. It itself can carry the proof. Now this is a little bit of a technical, philosophical thing. I'll try to simplify it in a minute or less. You see, for example, now we're living in the scientific age. So some people come along and say, well, we can prove that the Quran is the word of God using science. We can show there are scientific phenomena that are discovered today, and the Quran already talked about them so many centuries ago, millennium and a half ago. And therefore, the Quran is miraculously from Allah. Somebody else comes along and says, well, you know, I found some mathematical computations in the Quran that are humanly impossible, and so this mathematical outside proof is the proof that the Quran is the word of Allah. What we're doing then is we're looking at outside sources of knowledge, and we're using them to validate the Quran. So actually these outside sources become the mubayyinat, they become the clarifiers for the Quran. The issue is the Quran is calling itself bayyinat, meaning whether there were no discoveries of science, like for example in the last century there are discoveries of science, but before then, Allah was still saying bayyinat min al-huda, yes or no? He was already still making that claim. 1,000 years ago, was the claim still there that the Quran has miracles? Yes. The year it started being revealed, was there still a claim that it has miraculous evidence? Yes. So when we take it in the sense that in this one last century, we figured out why the Quran is a miracle. The problem is science is constantly changing. What used to be scientific fact, you know, 100 years ago, is now a joke. You know, Newtonian physics became obsolete. Einstein took over. You know, time became relative. Matter and energy, as opposed to matter, can neither be created nor destroyed. Scientific standards change. So if you take a scientific discovery of today and you say, here, Quran is agreeing with this scientific discovery, and tomorrow there's a scientific discovery that contradicts the previous discovery, now what have you done with Quran? I was saying, Quran is obsolete? Quran was wrong about this? So this is why the Quran is evident in and of itself. It doesn't need an outside proof. And I'm not saying that those kinds of investigations shouldn't happen. But understand, fundamentally, Quran is a proof in and of itself for someone who seeks it. In its words, in Allah's own preservation of the book, Allah Azza wa Jal makes its evidence clear. The other thing that I want to take this opportunity to share with you is, again, something we have to use our brain a little bit to understand. There's a difference between simple and clear. And those two words sometimes are confused with each other. Those two words again are simple and what? Clear. Now the thing is, if I say 2 plus 2 is 4, that's simple, and that's also clear. But sometimes there's a professor of, you know, quantum physics, and he has a calculation that takes up an entire board, and he has to go up on a ladder to fulfill the entire page. And for him, that entire calculation is clear, but it's definitely not what? It's definitely not simple. If you have a complicated problem, then you're going to have a complicated solution. The solution is valid when it's clear, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be what? Simple. The Quran is answering some of humanity's most difficult questions, complicated questions. The Quran never claims that it's basit. The Quran never claims that it's simple. The Quran constantly claims that it's clear. That it's clear. Now what people say is, I'm reading the translation of the Quran, and Quran says that it's clear, so it should be clear to me right away as I read it. You know what they're doing? They're trying to make the Quran what? Simple. While the Quran never made that claim. The Quran said He made it clear. And when Allah even said He made it easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. He made the Quran easy. But He didn't say He made the Quran easy for understanding. He said He made the Quran easy for the purpose of what? لِلذِّكْر. For remembrance of Allah. If you want to remember, Allah is merciful, Allah is all-powerful, Allah is in control, Allah forgives. You have to have hope in Allah, you have to rely on Allah. Those reminders are very easy in the Quran. They're very easy in the Quran. But there are, again, things that require a lot of deep contemplation, a lot of study, and you have to pursue clarification. So by saying bayyinat, what Allah is now telling us is that when we ponder into the Quran for the purpose of getting a spiritual reminder, that's easy. But when you want to get depth and clarity of the Quran, then there are going to be scholars that dive into the Quran their entire life, into the ocean of Quran. And when they come out of it, they'll only come out with a few drops. And the ocean still remains. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. These are بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى. Meaning clear proofs and evident clarities that will make themselves manifest to those who ponder them. This is why Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. The last thing I'll share with you about this clear and simple issue, which is tied to بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى, is, you know, the concept of standards, and this is a very important, serious subject. In science, in math, for example, you have a standard meter, like in the metric system, you have a meter. Every time some company manufactures a ruler, they have to measure up to the same standard, wherever they make it. And they have this one standard meter somewhere in Europe, sitting in a museum, temperature controlled. That's the original one. Everybody has to match that one. You understand? The thing is, when you have that standard, anywhere, if there's a meter, somebody says this thing is a meter long in Indonesia, and somebody says it's a meter long in Australia, and somebody says it's a meter long in America, it's the same size. Yes or no? Right? That's because there is a consistent standard. The thing with language is that it keeps changing. Language keeps changing. English 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago is not English today. If 30 years ago you told someone, I tweeted at you, or I texted you, or I found you in my Facebook, they'd think you're psycho. Because those words don't exist. Back then those words don't exist. If 200 years ago, in English, you told somebody, that's really cool, they would think you're talking about temperature. They're not going to think you're admiring something. You understand that? Language changes. And all languages change. Some of you speak Urdu, some of you speak Bahasa, some of you speak English, some of you, whatever languages you speak. The language of your grandparents is not your language. The way your grandparents speak is not how you speak, even Arabic, even Urdu, even Punjabi, whatever language. It has gone through changes, yes or no? Now Arabic has been around for what? 1400 years. You think Arabic has gone through changes? You think when you watch news on Al Jazeera or something, it's the same language that the Quraysh used to speak in the desert? No, it's gone through changes. When society expands, when trade happens, when empire expands, when non-Arabs come into Islam and learn Arabic, like when non-English speakers come to a country and learn English, does English get affected? Yeah, it gets affected. Language changes. But if language changes, the same word that used to have a meaning before now has a different meaning, yes or no? So because the language changed. Now there could be words in the Quran, listen carefully now, there could be words in the Quran that the people 1,500 years ago, they had a certain meaning. But today the same word has a different meaning. Allah preserved the Quran as one standard. Like that meter I talked about that never changes, the problem is language does change. This is why Allah says, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ, the original Arabic language. This is why when you translate the Qur'an, when I try to translate it into English, when I try to translate it into Urdu or French or German, even let's say English, I try to translate the Qur'an into English. But you know what? My translation of the Qur'an into English, 100 years from now, may be invalid. Because the words that I'm using may have a completely different meaning in 100 years. The translation will change. So when people assume that the translation of the Qur'an is Qur'an, when the translation of the Qur'an is Qur'an, there's a big problem. When people assume that knowing modern Arabic, they understand the meaning of the Qur'an, there's a big problem. Because they're not recognizing something. Allah made the bayinat of the Qur'an, the word bayinat shares the same root as the word mubin, and Allah put that with the Arabic of the original revelation, bilisanin arabiyin mubin. You know? And that's a very important thing to understand. So yes, translations are helpful. But if you and I start thinking, by reading a translation, we get it. We got this. Then you're letting go of the original standard that gives the Qur'an clarity. This is how I'm tying everything together. Because of the Arabic, the Qur'an gets its clarity. When you start letting go of the original Arabic, then what will go with it? Clarity will go away. You might think now it's simple, but definitely no longer clear. And that's one of the qualities of the Qur'an, بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ. Allah made sure that even though the majority Muslims of the world today don't speak the Arabic language, majority of them, but they still recite the Qur'an in what? In Arabic. They still recite, and just like Qur'an is preserved, hadith literature is preserved, just like that Lughat al-Arab, the old Arabic language is preserved. Allah made sure of it. So when we study the Qur'an, we study that ancient language, we still have, anybody has access to it. The African has access to it, the European has access to it, the Arab has access to it. Allah made sure of that because that was part of preserving the original clarity of the Qur'an. And that's within وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ. Unlike previous revelations, this book will not, the original text will not be lost. And it will not be recovered by memory, or some bits are there, some bits aren't there, some things have been changed. We can't tell which part is the word of Allah and which part is commentary, and it all gets fused together. What happened with previous works is not going to happen with this word of Allah. And that's بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ. So those are a few comments about the second quality of the Qur'an after هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ, the second one, وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we'll tackle some things we can learn from the word al-Furqan. بارك الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.